You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Happy Valentine's Day to one and all. As we bring you the gym class for this February 14th, 2022. Great to have you aboard. Scott Udash with you. Former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Mark Dukes, joining me here in just a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. And most importantly, you, the listener out there at 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well if you'd like to weigh in. And we'd love to have you weigh in each and every day. Again, that is 319-366-1600. And thanks for listening on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Good show for you coming up. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette will join us as we will take a look at wrestling. We will preview the high school state wrestling tournament, the duels, and the traditional state meet coming up on Wednesday through Saturday at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Seems like just yesterday wrestling got started for the year, and here we are already getting ready for the state tournament. We will do that coming up with KJ at half past the hour. Take a look back at, yeah, there was a game yesterday. Besides all the pomp and circumstance in the halftime show, there was a game yesterday as the Rams win the Super Bowl 23-20 over the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll talk about that coming up with you on the program today. And college basketball from the weekend. And when is too much a bad thing? Maybe we'll get to that coming up on the program today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you here today in Eastern Iowa and everywhere. And, of course, our podcast available on Apple and Spotify. You can also go to kgymradio.com and click on the gym class. As Mark joins me here on a very nice, sunny Monday afternoon. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, that's so thoughtful, Scott. You as well. Good afternoon to you and everyone. Ben, Spencer, good job on the start of the second week of Spencer on Sports. And thanks to those listening who took today off because they couldn't handle the day after the Super Bowl.
Just getting up now, as a matter of fact. Good afternoon. We'll try to talk very softly today in case, you know, it was a tough night for you out there last night. Super Bowl first and foremost on the agenda here today. Super Bowl 56 now in the books, and the LA Rams defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. I thought a very fun football game. Was it the most entertaining of all time? No. Was it the greatest Super Bowl of all time? No, but I think it was right up there. I think it's certainly top 12 as far as all-time Super Bowls are concerned. 12, 15, right in there, maybe even top 10. We'll have to see how it plays out with all the experts once they're done talking about the halftime show and controversies and things like that. But it came down to the last couple of minutes of the ball game, and Cooper Kupp made yet another play on what was a Cooper Kupp 2021-2022 in the National Football League, and a pretty good throw from Matthew Stafford, too.
Yeah, it was indeed, and I thought it was an above-average Super Bowl. I wouldn't term it great by any means, save a 75-yard touchdown pass that was a face mask and interference. Cincinnati didn't do a great deal on offense, and I thought the better team won. Very happy for Matt Stafford. Andrew Whitworth has put in so many years into this game, and he gets a ring. Jake Gervais, Alaric Jackson from Iowa. Going to get a ring for playing with the Rams. But, yeah, a lot of talk, not only about the game, but other things. And that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com today, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his crew doing great work in Iowa City since 2003. What was your favorite part of the Super Bowl? Three choices: the game, the halftime show, or the commercials. go ahead and vote, or you can weigh in on our text line or our phone line.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. Yeah, listen, I'm old. Whatever. I watch for the game. I mean, why else would you watch it? I haven't watched a whole lot of halftime shows. I really didn't watch last night's halftime show. I have no dog in the hunt as far as was it. Here you go. or no Snoop, no Snoop Dogg in the hunt. But at any rate, whatever. Have fun. I hear it was a great halftime show. Fantastic. Gave me a half hour to do some stuff and then get back to the game. and that's kind of the way I treated it. And as far as the game itself, it was fine. It was fine. The commercials are getting panned as well. I thought they were better than last year. I thought there were some good ones. I laughed a couple of times, chuckled a couple of others, groaned at a couple of others. You're not going to make everybody happy. That's just the way it is, especially in the 21st century. But the game itself was a good ball game. Came right down to the last moments and came down to a couple of fourth down plays that the Rams executed, one on offense and one on defense.
Yeah, I did not watch the halftime show either. You can call me old, you can call me whatever you want, but I don't watch a lot of halftime shows. I go to the Super Bowl for the game, and I didn't watch many commercials, to tell you the truth either. And it was shocking to learn today that Snoop Dogg smoked a joint before going on stage.
Wow.
And that's fine. That's not the first time or last time that's going to happen, but it's not my genre of music. I don't want to. I was cooking at that time, Scott.
Yeah.
that was more important than watching the halftime show.
Here we go. 3166, and you mentioned this to me earlier today, and actually this has kind of been panned a little bit, and it is not the fault of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, or anything like that, but good thing the start of the game wasn't on your poll list with The Rock's five-minute speech or whatever that was. Looked like the
bank. What was that?
I have no idea. That was just the most awkward thing in the world. Okay, we're ready to start. Wait, hold on. The Rock is on the field, and we're going to do, like, are you Michael Buffer? Nope, you're not Michael Buffer. It was awkward. It was just, come on, kick it off. Let's go.
Yeah, the two teams were out on the field ready to go, and here's The Rock. I'm not sure. We got the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're waiting for it.
We know. Get off the field and play the game. 1096 on the text line. If you were younger than 25 and older than 40, you didn't like the halftime show.
Well, that's not true. That's not completely true. A lot of folks from the our generation, Mark, weighing in that they did enjoy the halftime show. And the younger people, I don't know if they're, people under 25 are that, into it or not. I don't know. It was fine. It was fine. The two best ones still, Michael Jackson and Prince, hands down.
Prince for sure.
And they should have retired it after Prince, to be honest with you. But whatever. Have fun with it. 319-366-1600.
For the game. I will say, if the Grambling Marching Band had been playing, I would have watched.
Yeah. And although I don't believe Al Hurt is with us anymore. I'd have to double check on that. Anyway, 319-366-1600. As far as the game itself is concerned, I feel good for the Rams. I feel bad for our friend Rick. Talked with him last night, and I just thought it was a great game, great season. Wishes Bengals would have won, but the Rams did. You feel good for Aaron Donald. You could see how much after that fourth down sack that it meant to him. It's going to be interesting to see how the L.A. Rams are going to come out of this. There's talk. Michelle Tafoya talked about before the ball game that Aaron Donald contemplating retirement. I would not be shocked if he does ride into the sunset. Whitworth, I think, is all but retired now after the Rams won. What's going to OBJ? I have not heard the extent of the injury today. And if it is an ACL, then he's not going to be back until probably looking at halfway through the season next year. Matthew Stafford is not getting any younger. I feel great for him after all the years in Detroit and what he has gone through as far as his family and his wife is concerned, that he did get a ring. That was fantastic. The Bengals are going to be in the fight along with the Chiefs and the Bills and maybe other teams in the AFC for a while. Joe Burrow is going to have other chances, I think. Patrick Mahomes is going to have other chances. Lamar Jackson, I think, could have other chances. A lot of teams in the AFC, Josh, you name it, up and down the line as far as the AFC is concerned. But the Rams made moves to win a Super Bowl, to win a World Championship, and luckily for them, it all came through. Couple things about the game. You could commit a small felony for the first 59 minutes of that game, and I don't think anything was going to get called. Why flags started coming out in the last minute, I don't know. I think they were legit flags, though. But for 59 minutes, I mean, you could have done anything on the field, and it wasn't going to get called. I thought that was kind of interesting out there. I thought it was interesting that the Rams could not run the football at all. They had to go on a fourth down play on the final drive to win it with a Cooper Kupp jet sweep. And that didn't make it by a whole bunch. But that's what it came down to, running the ball as far as the Rams are concerned. And Cincinnati's offensive line just eventually wilted. And the Rams made some adjustments at halftime, figured things out, and Joe Burrow had 0 seconds back there to throw the football.
Yeah, 7 sacks for the Rams. I think that's a Super Bowl record. We knew they were good going in, and they were good last night. Better than good, actually. I thought right out of the chute, Cincinnati's decision to go for a first down at midfield 4 or 5 minutes into the game was very curious. They did not make it. And I don't know that the Rams score after that. I don't remember, but
yes, they did.
I thought that was very curious decision right out of the chute. I was very happy for Cooper Kupp. I think he had 2 seasons in 1 statistically this season, and I don't know that you're ever going to see that again. But yeah, the Rams made moves, principally acquiring Stafford. That turned out to be a wonderful move. And they're going to be around a while, I think, despite the fact that Whitworth and perhaps Donald are going to, hang it up. I don't know what happens with Beckham.
Von Miller may hang it up, too. Von Miller may hang it up, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
319-366-1600. 1096, if Donald records a sack on the last play, does he get MVP? Well, he did have a sack. Well, I guess he threw the ball. He shoveled it out of there. He could have. Cooper Kupp was the MVP, in my opinion. I texted that to you. I thought Cooper Kupp was the regular season MVP, but Cooper Kupp was amazing in 2021, and the Rams aren't where they are without Cooper Kupp. Other text, 2662, talking about next year, the Packers, it's your turn. Make your move to build Super Bowl now, not later. We know you're going to pay Rodgers for 2 to 3 more years. We'll see on that. Manipulate the cap like the Saints did. They were over their cap space this year. David and Hudson, thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it. Wilson's holding was a terrible call, especially based on the rest of the game. It was marginal. It was marginal. The one in the end zone was definitely a hold on the next play. That was a big one. Michelle Tafoya was probably singing along, absolutely. And 7089 says, I'm 49 and Eminem lit it up. Beautiful. 96-63, what bothered me was there in 5 yards to get first down, and the second play towards the end of the game, they threw a bomb. I don't understand that play calling the last drive by the Bengals. Yeah, they did go down the sidelines and went deep, but that worked before. Whether it was face mask or offensive pass interference or not, it worked before. Why not try it again? And I think that was the thinking by Cincinnati's coaching staff at that point, although that would have given a lot of time, even more time, for the Rams to go down and try to win the game. Hey, the Bengals, even though the Rams got that last two-minute touchdown mark, the Bengals had time. They had time, and I fully expected that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to make some adjustments and Joe Burrow was going to get them down at least inside the 35-yard line. But, again, the Rams' defensive line and their rush ends were just too much for that offensive line for Cincinnati. And that's what the Bengals are going to – you're going to expect in the draft next year. Bengals are going to go big time as far as offensive line. They went with Ja'Marr Chase this year when they had the opportunity. Instead of going offensive line, they got to protect Burrow and get some guys next year.
Yeah, Chase turned out pretty well, but you're quite right. That's what Cincinnati needs. And I fully expected Burrow to lead that team down into a tying field goal. Mr. Automatic, Cincinnati has as a place kicker. But it didn't happen. And Burrow had done that so many times. Maybe his fortune has just ran out. I don't know. But from that standpoint, it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 320. You're on the Gym Class on KGYM. So there's the Super Bowl. We did have college basketball as well over the weekend. And, of course, the good and the bad and the ugly, I think, really took place. The good, Iowa, with a pretty easy win yesterday at home as the Hawkeyes trounced a not very good Nebraska team, 98-75, and it wasn't even that close. Keegan Murray with a career high yesterday, 37. That's back-to-back 30-plus games for Keegan Murray, co-Big Ten Player of the Week, and he is the Naismith National Trophy Player of the Week this week. So congratulations going out to Keegan Murray. Iowa now over 500 as far as the Big Ten is concerned, but two very daunting games coming up Thursday night against the Michigan Wolverines at Carver Hawkeye, and then on Saturday afternoon, the makeup game against Ohio State, who is playing really good basketball right now. That will be at Value City Arena in Columbus, Ohio, coming up on the weekend. So a couple of pretty daunting tasks ahead for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. And another, just really, I thought, an all-around good performance by Iowa yesterday. Other than falling behind 3-0, that Iowa dominated that basketball game.
Yeah, very workmanlike performance. And your guy, Peyton Sanford, had a terrific game, 12 points, 8 rebounds, and nearly 17 minutes. I thought Chris Murray got his offense going. Austin Ash with a splash. People love that, don't they?
Splash.
No, not that part. Just when Austin Ash.
Oh, yeah.
Three. Yeah. And, yeah, just overall really good performance, I thought. And the Hawks led by 35, 36 points at one time. So a lot of points off turnovers, a lot of points in the paint. The bench was good. Overall, solid.
Solid. Very solid. Very solid out there. So the Hawks go over 500 in the Big Ten. Which one do you want to hit first, UNI or Iowa State? They were both equally disappointing over the weekend. UNI goes to Chicago yesterday just ahead of the Super Bowl and gets drilled by Loyola. Loyola played a very good basketball game. UNI did not. And you're looking at Loyola big time right now, looking very good as far as a tournament, even I think as an at-large at this point. And I believe the Valley after the weekend probably, and after a Drake loss last week as well, you're probably looking at the Valley looking at one bid unless Loyola loses in the semis or the finals in Arch Madness to one of the other three good teams in the Valley with UNI, Drake, or Missouri State. But UNI needed to show yesterday, and that unfortunately did not happen.
No, not by any means. The Panthers will get a chance to get some revenge in the last regular season game of the year, but Right now, it really appears that UNI is going to have to win the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, or maybe knock Loyola off. I don't know, but it's not looking very promising right now.
No. And then Saturday in Ames. Oy. Oy, oy, oy. Iowa State with a big lead in the first half. You got threes flying in. You've got Brockington playing well. And then all of a sudden, the faucet turned off. And Kansas State started to get going and got it to overtime. Could have won it at the end of regulation, did not. Got it to overtime. And as Cyclone Tim says, ugh. As Kansas State beats Iowa State, Cyclones last place in the Big 12 at 3-9 right now. And doesn't get any easier with a trip to Fort Worth tomorrow to take on TCU in a game that TCU really needs. That was a must-win game. A lot of people put on that one on Saturday, Mark, and Iowa State did not win it.
Yeah, and Iowa State's net has sunk to 43, and you know, it's just not a good situation for that ball club right now. You and I talked earlier. Rutgers in the Big Ten, my goodness, 9-5, in the thick of things, but their net is 81, and we know that they had some bad losses early on. Rutgers is playing about as good as anybody in the Big Ten and a large part of the country right now.
Yeah, they are. And we're, Joe Lunardi has not put out his latest bracketology as of yet. The last one came out before the weekend got underway. And going to be interesting to see. Iowa State was a 9 then. And going to be interesting to see where they are right now as far as he's kind of at the top of the heat as far as heap as far as bracketology is concerned. But yeah, all of the good karma that Iowa State built up in the non-conference is kind of going away right now, especially if it doesn't go well tomorrow night in Fort Worth, as Iowa State will take on TCU, and that would be a 3-10 Big 12 record right now. Yes, 319-366-1600. Sorry, Razorback Dale, that your Hogs got beat this weekend. What's the lowest seed a Big 12, Big 10 can be? Asks 2662. Well, a 12, I believe, would be the lowest they can be. But you got to get in first, right?
Yeah, you do. I don't see how Iowa State is in at this moment in time on February 14th.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna take a break. We'll come back. We're gonna talk some high school wrestling in general with KJ Pilcher of the Gazette, as the Hawkeyes won down at Globe Field the bout at the ballpark on Saturday. Talk about that. Look ahead and preview the state wrestling championships coming on this Wednesday through Saturday. The state duels on Wednesday and the traditional state tournament getting underway on Thursday. We'll talk about that with KJ when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have some more sunshine this afternoon.
State's possibilities from Iowa State and UNI as far as the NFL draft is concerned. So we will do that coming up tomorrow for you right here on KGYM on Gym Class. Looking forward to that. And don't forget, from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, it'll be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And that will come your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And we do it all again starting tomorrow with Spencer on Sports, beginning at 2 o'clock on all of our frequencies here on KGYM. 319-366-1600 as we await KJ Pilcher. His appearance is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. And Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. He is right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. As Mark and KJ set to join me here on the Monday edition of the show. And KJ, how you doing? You recovered from the Super Bowl yet?
Considering I was going through state pairings and typing up qualifiers and everything like that, the Super Bowl was background noise since it's Sunday before the state tournament. So enjoyed the halftime show, though.
And we'll just leave. Well, I didn't watch it, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm okay. As 64-29 says, halftime was incredible. Keep in mind, Eminem is 49. Snoop is 50. Dr. Dre is 57. A lot of us have been listening to them for most of our lives. Great. Enjoy the halftime show.
I will say the only concern I had was when 50 Cent was hanging upside down, I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get himself back up like when he did in the video, but it all worked out for him.
Fitty.
My bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been watching Willie Nelson all my life, too, so there.
I like Willie Nelson. I have an eclectic taste of music. I like everything across the board, so.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we got state wrestling coming up this week. Before we talk about the traditional tournament, regional state championship will come up on Wednesday. That will get things started as far as the week is concerned. Lindmar is going from the metro area. Is going to be pretty much chalk. That's kind of the way it has gone over the last handful of years anyway, as far as the state duels are concerned. Are we going to see that, or are we going to see something different?
I think you're gonna see much of the same this year. I tell you what, if you've seen the last couple finals, I think you're gonna have a little deja vu when it comes to the teams involved. In 3A, you've got Waverly Shell Rock, Southeast Polk. That I think are still kind of a step ahead of everybody else, like a Lindmar or Waukee Northwest. On 1A, you've got Don Bosco, of course, and then Lisbon is right there. Maybe West Sioux could upend things and sneak in there as a finalist. But, 2A, you're probably looking at West Delaware. And then the newcomer might come out of that other side. You might see Osage or Independence, but I think you're going to see a lot of the familiar faces that you have in the last few years when it comes to the state duels.
In terms of Saturday's districts, what stood out to you? Any surprises? I know there's a couple, three girls that qualified as well.
Yeah, that was really interesting to see. The one that really stands out to me because she's in our area, Rena Utterbach of Sigourney, Kyoto. Just a few weeks ago, she won the Iowa Wrestling Coaches Officials Association Girls State Tournament in Coralville. She followed that up with a conference title, and now she's going to be in the 106-pound field in Class 1A. And, of course, in the very same bracket, you've got Molly Allen from Underwood. And Underwood's a team that's a state title-contending team. To be honest, I think that's a team that is going to be right in there with Don Bosco and Lisbon on the traditional side of things. So two very big accomplishments. I can't remember off the top of my head where the third female qualifier is from. And what class, but to have the news of girls being sanctioned and the numbers increasing, and to have a trio of female athletes qualify—that's a pretty special thing. And obviously, the one thing that really stands out, I think, about this weekend was the performance by Waverly Shellrock over in Marshalltown. We had a couple of metro teams there with Cedar Rapids Prairie and Cedar Rapids Xavier, but Waverly Shellrock. Coming away with 14 qualifiers, all 14 guys going down to the traditional tournament. I mean, I don't think people understand really how amazing it is to be able to take your full team down to the traditional tournament. I mean, that's an accomplishment that obviously this is the first time since 14 weight classes. I think Don Bosco did it once, like in the late 70s, back when there were maybe 12 weight classes. But this is the first time all 14 wrestlers from the same team have qualified, and that's amazing. And you look at what Don Bosco did. They sent all but one. They had 13 qualifiers in 1A, and you're taking second billing because of what the GoHawks were able to do, and that's pretty impressive. And, you know, here I was at Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and I tell you what, the more and more you see Linmar wrestle, it's hard not to be more impressed with them. You know, they came away with 10 state qualifiers, could have had an 11th, really close to that. They had six champions. They got all the way through 145, which is half the lineup, and everybody had qualified for state at that point. I mean, that's just pretty impressive. And, of course, you've got the you've got the five ranked wrestlers in Braden Park, King Nakaborn, Grant Kress, Tate Nakaborn, and Luke Gaffney. Four of them won titles and did it fairly convincingly as well. But you're starting to see the balance in that team, and they're getting stronger as the season goes along. And you know, it's going to be fun to see them this week because, you know, they've got a little more time to kind of work on things. You can tweak and fine-tune some things in the days leading up. And, you know, they're going to be a team that I don't know if they quite have enough to kind of move into the one or two spot. But, you know, they're ranked fifth, but I can see them finishing third or fourth, coming home with a trophy.
And that would be quite an accomplishment, no doubt. And yeah, Waverly with the 14, they got to be the favorites now in 3A, don't they? Over Southeast Polk.
Yeah, and I think they were before, but this just maybe gives them a little more cushion, I guess you could say, since they're going to have some extra bodies down there and really capable of scoring points from each of them, to be honest with you. And you've got Waukee Northwest that has 12. You know, that's a pretty solid team as well. They've got some really good individuals, especially Colfax Christensen, Carter Freeman. Those are two guys that are going to be probably wrestling on Saturday night. But, you know, Waverly Shellrock's team, not only do they have the numbers now, but you've got top guys like Jake Walker at heavyweight, McCray Hagerty, 195. You got Aiden Riggins and Roger Block, who are both going to go wrestle at Iowa, that are going to be hunting titles as well. I think it's Luke McDonald at 220. That's a top three or four guy, as well as quite a few others. Boz Diaz at 145, which is part of a really stacked weight class, I tell you. You've got about four or five individuals that have accounted for like seven or eight titles, I think, in that 140-pound weight class, including Robert Avila Jr., who's at Iowa City West now and looking for his fourth title. One of three wrestlers in the state tournament, looking to get their fourth this year, joining Crestwood's Carter Fausick and New London's Marcel Lopez. So that's something where Waverly Shellrock definitely the favorite, but you know, those numbers really kind of help maybe give them a little space between Southeast Polk, Waukee Northwest, and Linmar.
There's other Metro representation, as you know. KJ Christian Stanek from Xavier, I think it was his fourth time qualifying.
Yep.
Not many available spots when you had Waverly Shellrock in that Marshalltown district, but Prairie got, what, two, three, four through. So there will be other Metro wrestlers to follow.
Yeah, yeah. As you mentioned, Prairie had two qualifiers, Blake Jaimo, who was a state runner-up a year ago. He's undefeated, and he's the number one seed in, at 113. He has been fantastic all year long. You know, he was a guy that didn't qualify as a freshman last year, really had a breakout year getting to the finals. And then, you know, he said that loss was really unfulfilling. Just getting to Saturday night wasn't as, you know, that wasn't the goal. And that's something he's worked all summer long. And when he got tired and he got drained during, you know, those workouts, he thought about just that feeling on Saturday night coming up short, and he didn't want to experience that again. And you can tell by the way he's really dominated the field. And, you know, and a lot of times when you have somebody like that, their workout partner, their training partners, you know, kind of get lifted up too, right? A high tide raises all boats. You know, and Alex Bumba, their 120-pounder, has put together a really good season, and he's going to join Jaimo down in Des Moines as their only two qualifiers. So Alex Bumba has really made some strides, and, you know, he's going to go down there looking to reach that podium. And you mentioned Christian Stanek. He has an opportunity to become Xavier's first four-time state medalist. You know, he's somebody that's just kind of gradually increased each time he's been down there. You know, he's an Iowa State signee. So Kevin Dresser is going to get a really tough kid, really, really strong competitor. And I think he's, you know, he ran into Aiden Riggins, you know, at Marshalltown in that district. And of course, they're the number two and number three seeds coming into the tournament. And, you know, if, to be honest, probably Riggins should have been one. And then you'd have Stanek and Martinson from Southeast Polk as the possible two and three there. But it turned out Martinson got the number one, and those two will meet in the semis, or should meet in the semis. But Xavier's had a two-time champion, Michael Shedek, at heavyweight. He went on to wrestle at UNI. But I really believe that if Stanek ends up making the podium again, especially if he finishes top three, I think that's certainly a claim that that young man should be considered Xavier's probably best wrestler in the program's history.
And that's saying a lot right there. And, of course, you've got the two Iowa City Kingpins with Garvin and Keeter down there. They were both, by the way, the Divisional Wrestlers of the Year announced by the MVC today.
Yeah, and, you know, they have just – there is no complacency in either one of those two. Hunter Garvin has been absolutely dominant all season long. He's going to Stanford. He's looking to become a four-time finalist, and he's going for his third title this year. Keeter, the same thing. You know, a lot of times when Keeter stepped out on the mat, especially against the Iowa competition, it's been a man amongst boys. He hasn't been threatened or really challenged much. And those matches have kind of gone as long as he wants them to go, if that makes any sense. And I don't really see that changing. And it's kind of interesting with Garvin, Tate Nachtgeborn, from Linmar, and Ben Keeter, all have been wrestling Saturday night. They don't know any different. All of them have been in the finals on Saturday night during their high school career. Keeter's going for his third title. Nachtgeborn's going for a second. When he was a freshman, he lost to Keeter in the finals. So, you know, and we just mentioned that Garvin's going to be a four-timer. You've got Avila the same way. He's going for his fourth. So you've got four guys in the area that they don't know anything different than wrestling on Saturday night in Des Moines when there are hundreds of wrestlers each year that would give their right leg just to be able to step on that stage and compete. And here these guys do it as part of the, you know, it's normality for them. And they have just picked up where they left off a year ago, and certainly heavy favorites at their weight classes.
On the college front, Cage, we're going to get to the bout in a minute, but Wartburg really hammering Loris in a match of top two Division III teams. But Iowa State and UNI, almost 5,000 people witnessing that duel, and it came down to the last match. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, just about Wartburg really quick. Was it Paul McCartney that once said, you know, the news of my demise has been greatly exaggerated or something? Remember?
Yeah.
Loris beat Wartburg, and, you know, he thought that was the crowning of a new champ or dawning of a new age in the Iowa Conference. And this year, Wartburg, the way Wartburg dominated Coe and Loris, and remember, Loris only beat Coe by a point, but for the way that Wartburg really – I mean, that's probably one of the more emphatic statements that they've made here in recent years by the way they've dominated their top two competitors who have gone on and beaten other top – the nation's top teams. So and throwing the way they beat Augsburg too, I tell you what, it's going to be fun to watch Wartburg come down to Cedar Rapids here in a few weeks and compete for a national title. But, yeah, you know, I was at the McLeod Center on Friday night. I tell you, you talk about living up to the hype. I think that duel really did. I think the fan support did as well. I mean, that place, that was a fun, energetic crowd, and I think the wrestlers fed off it. It was a duel that had some real exciting finishes, really exciting action. You know, UNI comes out, gets a lead. Iowa State comes back and wins the next three. UNI takes control again, and then Iowa State finishes it off. Sam Schuyler, at heavyweight, with a late takedown to win the match when it was a winner take all there at heavyweight. And he gets a late takedown. But that duel was probably won at 197 since Schuyler came through with the performance from Younger Bastida getting that major. And he is somebody that when he is clicking, I don't know if there is a more exciting person on their feet amongst the three. Maybe Parker Tekeisen, Austin DeSanto, but Younger Bastida was lights out. And his takedown against a freshman in John Gunderson, who I think is still a good wrestler, but that was a fabulous performance there and one that Iowa State needed to be able to get that bonus point, and it turned out to be the difference. But that was a fun, exciting duel, great performances from both sides. You had Ian Parker at 141 that was down and then able to catch Cale Happel in the cradle and get 6 points, and that was the difference in their match, and that was one that could have swung the other way as well. You had Lance Runyon winning a real tight one for UNI at 174 that really kept the momentum on their side. But, it was just fun going back and forth. And it started at 125 where you had Teske beating Terracina in that opener. And, it was one, like I said, lived up to the hype.
It did. Hey, before we got to set sail here real quick, a little bit comment on Iowa. A little 11,000 or so were down for the game or the meet at the ballpark in Arlington. And then also, we did have a question on the text line real quick about how the seating process works for state. We could talk about that for an hour.
you could pull a Cousin Eddie from the vacation movies and think about it until you pass out and the plate in your head slips and, you don't know which way is up. But, it has to do with records. They do have kind of like opponents and head to head, and there's a whole matrix that kind of goes into it. I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of things that don't make sense, and you're wondering how they kind of came through. I mean, it's just one of those things that the one thing that seems to be missing, and this isn't like a knock on the people doing it, this is really a criteria that they've used, that they use in seed meetings, and it's called common sense. And it's not a knock saying, oh, you don't have any common sense. It's just that, you know, there's eye tests, and you're like, okay, we've got this three-time champ that wrestles a tough schedule that's 9-1, and you've got this other guy that, you know, has wrestled, you know, kids with losing records all year long, and he's 10-0. The common sense factor is, okay, that 9-1 is actually better than 10-0, right? That's the one thing that kind of is missing in that matrix, because he tried to take the subjectivity out of it. But unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily correct it as well. But as far as the ballpark, there's, you know, I think it was 12,028 that ended up attending that. A pretty neat deal, wrestling side by side. But Iowa really controlled that. Even the matches that they did drop, two of those were close matches, and ones that were within their reach. I really thought Oklahoma State had a chance to win this duel if they kind of made hay in those middle weights, well, at 149 through 74, 84. And of course, they only won one of those, and that was at 84 with Dakota Gear beating Abe Assad. You had great performances from Max Murin beating Gefeller, Caleb Young beating White Sheets, who's a very strong competitor. Marinelli and Whitlake, I think, was kind of the marquee matchup, and Marinelli won that 3-2. Think about Caleb Young. Remember about a month ago, he was in the middle of losing like a handful in a row, and he was wrestling like top-ranked wrestlers, you know, in a stretch dating back to David Carr in December. And now he's, I think he's won like seven straight matches. He's beaten two ranked wrestlers in a row. I think that's a really good sign for Iowa with the way Young has kind of turned things, seemed to get things straight as we're getting to this last part of the season and approaching the Big Tens.
Great job, KJ. Have a great time in Des Moines. We'll tell everyone to follow you down there with all of the updates going on. It's a three-ring circus and more for the first few days. Yeah. And again, we will look forward very much to Selfie Saturday. Best of luck.
Yep. Thank you very much. Follow me at KJ Pilcher on Twitter, and make sure to hit the Gazette.com for all our coverage.
All right. All right. Have a good week, man.
Thanks.
All right, KJ Pilcher of the Gazette joins us, and his talk with us on Mondays is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, and Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. KJ will have everything from Wednesday through Saturday, including Selfie Saturday. He will have selfies with everybody at Saturday at the state tournament. Mark, I want to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Before we get to the top of the hour, it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
A very big game in the Big Ten tonight on the women's side. Cedar Rapids native Brenda Fries, the head coach at Maryland, brings her team in to face Iowa. Both teams 10-3 in the Big Ten. Mentioned Keegan Murray, co-player of the week in the Big Ten. Fourth time that has happened. He shares the award with Geo Baker. And the Emil's Hideaway pick six results are in. Scott Unas, the winner, on a tiebreaker over me. That means John from Cedar Rapids wins the last $25 gift card to Emil's Hideaway of this season.
Yeah. How about that, huh? How about that? Did not catch Dave, though.
No, you and I were 3-3, Dave 2-4. And Dave wins the season-long race by 5 games.
By 5 games. All right. But John's a real winner as far as that is concerned. And looking forward to having Emil's jump on board with us hopefully next year for another edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. And that will get started in August, late August, early September, coming up next year. All right, more Super Bowl talk and more coming up with Todd and Alex. They are on the way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Again, tomorrow we're going to talk John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service. We'll talk about the Senior Bowl and how Iowa State UNI folks did down in Mobile a couple of weekends ago. And looking forward to talking about that. We'll talk about some college basketball, Iowa, Maryland women tonight as well. Mark, have a great night, and we'll talk tomorrow.
You as well. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex are coming your way next. And don't forget the Cyclone Courtside show tonight and Kansas-Oklahoma State to follow.
If it's after lunch, I probably wouldn't have fed him to the Titans. I get a little ornery when I'm hungry, and timing is everything, people. That's why my sportsbook app has live in-game betting for football. I don't care if the game has already started.